You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Air Up There by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
My grandson, he's into numbers. He counts. So right after his birthday, January 11th, he said, about a week later, he said, my birthday going to be in 360 days. Oh, come on now. He's doing a countdown to the next one. He even figured this thing out. Okay? In about 360 days, I'm going to have a birthday. Now, he basically, we would say a year. He said, no, it's only 360 days. Look, somebody say, your birthday's coming. He said, but when you run a race, run that you may win. And we said, give it all you got. Do the best you can do. And some of us, we're jogging through life, but we ain't really running. We ain't really running. We jog. And some of us, we have no strategy. Okay, again, watching Olympics recently, and I don't know how many times they had to go around that thing, around the track. But they had this one girl, and she just took off. And she was at least a half a lap around everybody else. And she was just going, shh, shh, shh. You know how to do it. And she just, shh, 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 shh. And boy, and she's about half a lap. And so I had never really watched this race before. And they said, well, it'll be interesting to see if she can keep up this pace. It'll be interesting. I mean, she was way, I mean, she got, and everybody else was just kind of staying there together. She was just going. And then that last thing, ding, 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 the last lap came. And everybody else, they start going for it. Now, then they took off, and she was nowhere to be seen. She started off, I don't know, they had to run around like 8 times. For 7, she was way out ahead. But she had no strategy to finish. Are y'all hearing me? Sometimes you got to pace yourself. I know you're trying to get there right now. You're trying, come on. But God's trying to build something in you. The race ain't given to the swift, nor to the strong, but the one that endures to the end. Look, somebody say, I'm in this thing for the long haul. A few years back, y'all know, I mean, some of y'all don't know me from back in the day, my straight up Pentecostal day. But every message I hooped, every message I sweat my clothes out, every message I had just sweat dripping down. And then when I started passing, we started doing these 3 services, I said, oh, this ain't going to work. I got to do this for the next 20 years? Oh, no, I'm going to have to build a ministry on something else other than that. Because there's times I don't feel like, sometimes I feel like, I have strategy. I have strategy. Can I ask a basic question? How long are you going to be able to do that? Whatever you're doing, how long are you going to be able to do that? I know you're trying to hurry up. But how long are you going to be able to do that? Because God wants endurance. It's not always how you start. It's how you finish. Are you hearing me? So the next level, you're going to have to run to win and yet have strategy. Ask God for strategy how to do this thing. You know, there's a lot of parents who they think, I just got to raise these kids. Got to raise these kids. Once they're 18, they can get up out of here. And you got a strategy just for raising children, not for being a parent. Because you're a parent all your life. You're a parent even when you're not raising children. So now you're going to raise your children, but now your children don't let you parent them. Because you, all you thought about was raising them, and you didn't develop a relationship that they want you to parent them. Because there comes a time where they got to choose to allow you to parent them. That's based upon relationship. Everybody say strategy. You got to have strategy. I'm talking about going to the next level, y'all. And so also, the next level also, it may come with persecution. Jesus said this in Mark 10, 29 through 30. I told you about sacrifice. The rich young ruler goes away after he's not willing to sacrifice. And then Jesus, Peter responds, said, Lord, I know you're talking about rich folk can't enter into the kingdom of heaven and all that. He said, I know you ain't talking about us, because we left all to follow you. And Jesus responds to Peter in Mark 10, verse 29 and 30. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake. I know some of y'all can't relate to that, but this is Pastor Marsh and I's life. We left the house, being around immediate family members, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers. Okay, we thank God I have to leave my wife. The children, land. In other words, say some things you do, your family don't understand. Some sacrifice you make for the sake of what God's called you to do, even when it looked like it's caused a separation with immediate family members. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, lands, you're walking away from maybe territory or particular geographic area, but you're doing it for my sake and the gospel. He said, when you live that kind of sacrificial life for me, he said, you're going to receive 100-fold now in this time. Everybody say this time. And he says this time to distinguish it from heaven. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about here on this side of heaven. He said, in this time, you can get houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And then he adds this with persecution. Because I will make it up for you to you on this side of heaven. But when I do that, you're going to get persecution. Because people tell me, well, how many houses they need? And he said, houses. Well, all your worship, you act like you worship him. He ain't your daddy. That ain't your mother. But he said, I'm going to give you children and mothers and sisters and lands with persecution. And then he said, and then a bonus, you're going to go to heaven too, eternal life. Can I tell you this? Persecution does not come until you start making impact. Persecution does not come until you are perceived as a threat. You don't get persecution until you start making an impact. If you want to be average, no persecution. Nobody knows about you. You're blending in. Once you start doing anything at a level beyond other people, the shot's going to come. Are y'all understanding me? And a lot of you say you want to be average, but you can't deal with shots. It comes with it. I'm talking about the capacity for the next level. I'm talking about the air up there. Persecution is the devil's strategy to subdue you, to retard your progress and make you retreat. Dr. Pat Francis was with us a few years back, and we were talking about some things regarding preaching and preachers and subject matters, like preachers like me are called to preach. Economic prosperity and the word of faith. And she mentioned, she said, some people have been subdued. She said, don't allow the devil to subdue you. So you're preaching something, you're teaching something, you're operating at a level, you're doing business, you're making inroads and impact in a way that people haven't seen. So everybody starts talking about it. So you said, well, let me not teach that. Let me not do it that way anymore. Let me just blend in with everybody else. And now you subdued from what God called you to do in a way he told you to do it. So persecution is the devil's strategy to subdue you, to retard your progress, and to make you retreat. Persecution comes from your enemies thinking that they can't succeed if you succeed. Let me say that again. Persecution comes from your enemies thinking they can't succeed if you succeed. It comes from shortage mentality, that there's not room for you and me. And after the Israelites started increasing, persecution came to try to make them stop multiplying. Will you look at somebody and say, I will not let the devil cause me to stop multiplying. Exodus 1 and 12, it says that this Pharaoh came who had no appreciation for what Joseph had done and for Joseph's family. And a new Pharaoh rose who didn't know anything about Joseph. He didn't know anything about his history. He said, listen, these folks, man, these Israelites, they just really increasing here in Egypt. Let's deal wisely with them. Otherwise, they're going to side with our enemies and fight against us, and they're going to take over. So they started oppressing them. And Exodus 1 and 12 says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Say this, say, devil, come on. The more you afflict me, the more I'm going to multiply and the more I'm going to grow. So you got to understand that when persecution starts coming, it means you're doing something right. When persecution starts coming, it means that now that you are starting to be recognized, that the devil is seeing you as a threat, that you are on the right track, that you are doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. After Daniel got promoted in the kingdom, persecution came. When God promoted him again, when he got to the next level, persecution came. The king made three presidents, and he made Daniel over those three presidents. In other words, he made Daniel the prime minister and the others governors. It says, and then they said, we got to deal wisely with him. We got to try to stop him. We got to try to find a reason to get him from going any further. After Joseph shared his dream, persecution came. His brothers wanted to stop his dream. Look, somebody said, don't let anybody stop you from dreaming. After David defeated Goliath, persecution came to try to keep David from becoming king. David wasn't thinking about becoming king. Oh, my God. Sometimes persecution comes because the devil sees you going where you didn't even realize you're going yet. I didn't even have that in mind. But the devil sees what can happen, because the devil can see that God got his hand on you. He don't know what's quite going to happen. But let me stop him. Let me derail him. Let me bring somebody else along to derail them off their path. Let me forget about everything that they promised God. Because right now, you get caught up in your emotion. You get caught up in your personal need rather than doing what God wants you to do and being who God called you to be. Listen, if you don't want persecution, don't make impact. Don't get promoted. Don't increase. Just be average and blend in. Go through life saying, I ain't going to make no waves. I ain't going to be no threat to nobody. I don't want nobody looking at me. Then be average. So the final question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to pursue what God has for you? How bad do you want to get to the next level? Matthew 11 and verse 12. Jesus said this. He said, since the days of John the Baptist, even until now, the kingdom of heaven has endured, this is amplified, violent assault. Traditional King James says, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. We look, somebody say, violence is allowed. That's what that means. You need to understand, in the realm of the spirit, violence is allowed. I can give you scripture after scripture. Paul said, violence is allowed. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Violence is allowed in the realm of the spirit. I'm not talking about physically violent. I'm not talking about the weapon, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got to learn to be violent in the realm of the spirit. You got to see when the devil's coming after your marriage. See when the devil's coming after your family. And see when the devil's coming after your children. And see when the devil's coming against your mind. And see when the devil's coming against your purpose. And say, oh, devil, oh, I will be violent. Don't you make me fight. I will fast if I have to. I will sow a seed if I have to. I'll stay up all night and pray if I have to. Instead of praying in tongues for 5 minutes, I'll go in for a whole hour. Don't you make me fight. Because if I got to fight, I'm going to win. Look at somebody say, violence is allowed. And the reason why some of you're being subdued is because you're too passive in the realm of the spirit. Listen, you can be a docile person in terms of your natural personality, but you got to learn to be violent in the spirit. Are you hearing me here? Somebody said to me a couple years ago, they were doing certain things, and I sat on with them, and I had to preach about it. I had to get y'all thinking right, and they said, I see you will fight for this church. I said, you doggone right, and it took everything with me, just say doggone. You are doggone right. I will fight for this church, glory, because I gave my life for it. I've sacrificed. Come on now, and I know what God has called me to do, and I'm not going to let you, because I refuse to deal with you and deal with your Jezebel spirit. Come in here and mess up everything that God's doing. Oh no. I will fight you. Are you hearing me? Devil, you need to understand that even though I was saved as a child, Pastor Monster said, you don't know how to fight. You've been in the church all your life. But let me tell you something. I got the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God and the weapons of my warfare. I'm mighty through God. Satan, we gonna tear your kingdom down. Look, somebody said, you better learn to fight. You see the devil trying to take your child's mind. You see the devil trying to come up with all this confusion. Talk about, oh, we the black Hebrews now. We the black Hebrew. And when you can't say Jesus, I will fight in the name of Jesus. Listen, I raised my child. I've labored with my child. I put all of my child. Devil, you will not have my child. I come against every deceiving spirit. I will go into war in the realm of the spirit. I will fight. When Sam Bilet and Tobiah came against Nehemiah, Nehemiah looked, he said, listen, I want you to keep building. He said, but put some brick and some mortar in one hand and keep a sword in the other hand. And he said, fight for your children and fight for your wives and fight for your relatives. Tell some, I'm willing to fight. So Jesus says that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom. That's Matthew 11 and 12, the Amplified. It says, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Will you tell somebody, say, I want my share? Glory to God. I'm supposed to have an inheritance. And God's got enough, and Jesus got enough, that we all can have our inheritance. Y'all don't hear me here. The Bible says that when we get saved, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare in my Father's house a mini mansion. And I go to prepare a place for you. So that means every time somebody gets saved, another room is made in the mansion. Y'all want to hear what I'm saying? He said, in my Father's house, one house is many mansions. Mansions is room. One house, many rooms. One house, many rooms. One house, many rooms. So every time you get saved, another room is added on to the house. Every time somebody get born again, another room is added to the house. Every time somebody comes to the altar, another room is added to the house. Will you tell somebody, say, there's a room for you? And I don't know about you, but what Jesus prepared for me, I want everything that God prepared for me. I want my share. Oh, glory to God. So Paul says, as I wrap this up here, Paul says in Philippians 3rd chapter, he says, verse 12, I follow after if I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. God got something in store for me. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached it yet. I haven't crossed every T, haven't dotted every I, but this one thing I do, all of my accomplishments and all my affairs of the past, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul said, if I got to press, I got to press. Press means there may be opposition, but I press. There are going to be folks talking about me, but I press. There are going to be folks that don't like me, but I press. There are going to be folks say he's just all thinky, all that, but I press. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. This folks ain't going to like me. They ain't going to like my car. They ain't going to like my house. They ain't going to like my family. They ain't going to like my shoes. They ain't going to like my breath. They ain't going to like something. And I don't care, because if God said it's mine, I want my share. And I'm not backing down and not subduing. I'm not going to bow down to the devil and dance his music. God's got something for me on the other side of this storm. God's got something for me on the other side of these flames. God's got something for me when this lion goes to sleep. If I just go through that lion's den, if I just go through the fiery furnace, if I just go towards that mountain, God's going to clear a way for me. They're going to make me room. They're going to be room for me. God will bring you through the fire, through the water. And I know it's it seems hard right now. I know it seems like the persecution is not worth it. But after you come through the fire, after you come through the water, God will bring you into a wealthy place. God will bring you into a large land. You need to know you're on your way. When you tell somebody, I'm on my way. Hallelujah. And the devil wants you to forfeit. The devil wants to tell you you can't do it. The devil wants to tell you too many giants in that land. But there's been some of us have already gone over there. And we got the fruit of the land. And we're telling you it's worth the fight to get what God has for you. It's worth the fight to have the family God wants you to have. It's worth the fight to have the life God wants you to have. It's worth the fight to have the peace God wants you to have. But you got to be willing. Oh, glory to God. If you got to put some Vaseline on your face, say, I got to fight. If you got to take your earrings off, I got to fight. If you got to kick your shoes off, I got to fight. If you got to roll up your sleeves, I don't want to do it. But God has given me a promise that is mine. It's mine. The devil won't stop it. The devil won't block it. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to quit. Paul came to the place that he said, none of these things move me. You got to get to the place that none of these things move me. Did you hear what they said about you? Yes, I heard it. But none of these things move me. But the doctors gave you a bad report. But none of these things move me. But you've been through a foreclosure. But none of these things move me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. I shall not go back. I shall not give up. I shall not cave in. I shall not quit. And I'm done. Acts the 20th chapter, verse 22. You can read it if you want to. Paul says, Acts 20, 22, message translation. He said, there is another urgency before me now. He said, doggone it, if I never felt like going forward before, I'm going forward now. I got a new urgency. He said, there's another urgency before me now. He said, I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. He said, now I'm completely in the dark about what's going to happen when I get there. But I do know that it won't be a picnic. Look, somebody say, it ain't going to be a picnic. For the Holy Ghost had let me know repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times and imprisonment ahead. But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everybody, everyone I meet, know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. Paul said the devil's trying to stop me, but by the time I finish, everybody gonna know what a mighty God we serve. The devil's trying to shut me up, but everybody gonna know that God is worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the honor. Look at my life. Look where it brought me from. Look what he did for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And if he did it for you, he can do it for you. And if he did it for them, he can do it for you. It's the same God. Going forward, there's another level. There's greater. Don't have time to be depressed. Don't have time to be despondent. Don't have time for self-pity. Paul said, listen, I want you to know, Every time you talk about everything you're going through, Paul said, you ain't the only one. So let me let you know, your brothers in Macedonia, other people in the body of Christ are going through the same thing. He said, we're all going to keep pushing together. Hallelujah. And God got another side of this thing for us. That's why God needs people who will be billboards and advertise. And don't be ashamed to tell folks where you used to be, how you used to live, how you used to think, how you used to exist, the low level of your mentality. But God made you a new creature. Old things are passed away. And all things have become new. Everybody ought to see that you are a living epistle to the goodness of God. Everyone standing.
Many of us want to go to the next level. The question is, are we able to withstand the air at the next level? Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that going higher in your purpose may require you to breathe a little differently. Order this powerful message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Air Up There.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.